Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Half-Truths, God Helps Those Who Help Themselves.
Psalm 18, beginning at verse 6, and then we'll cut across to verse 16. It says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of mighty waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support." This is the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your presence, for your love, and for your hope. We ask now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. For the next weeks that I'll continue to be here, not like I'm going somewhere, but I'll be preaching. I'm going to do a series called Half-Truths. And it's really just half-truths are things that they are true, but then under inspection, you discover that they're not completely true. And this is a skill set that you learn really when you're a teenager, I think. When I remember I'd wake up on a Saturday morning, my mom say, "What were you doing last night?" "I was hanging out with Ben." "Oh, okay." Didn't tell her where I was hanging out with Ben, but we were hanging out. Now, in our series, half-truths are going to be things that we have heard said or that even perhaps we believe in, and they're true, but at another level, they're also not true. And so today we're going to look at God helps those who help themselves, and the next one we'll look at is for everything there is a reason. Now, God helps those who help themselves is very iconic. It's almost woven into the fabric of American culture. But that statement itself actually is about 5 centuries before the time of Jesus Christ. Philosophers were saying that way before Jesus. But what made it iconic in American culture is in 1736, Benjamin Franklin, in his famous book, Poor Richard's Almanac, which I've got to admit, I've never read, nor do I have an interest in reading it, so don't give me a copy. He coined the phrase, "God helps those who help themselves." And because of his famous book, even to today, there was a research study done. It's a Christian group called Barna Research. And they were asking people half-truth statements of, "Do you think this is in the Bible? Do you think this is not in the Bible?" And of all the statements that they said, this is the one that 8 out of 10 people believed was in the Bible. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, "What? That's not in the Bible?" It's not. You can go home now if you'd like. But it's not in the Bible. Now, at its face value, this statement is true. And so we're just going to take a very common example that most of us have experienced in our lives, and that is being unemployed. Now, you could take an approach to your unemployment where you'll say, "I'm just going to pray that God gives me a job." And that's all you do. Now, you might be waiting almost indefinitely to get a job. Because there's a part that you have to do. You have to prepare a resume. You have to go search for job openings. You have to apply for jobs. And then you've got to convince an employer that you're more than qualified for the job that you're applying for. Without doing your part in prayer, it's highly likely that you'll remain unemployed. The Benedictine monks had this saying in Latin, "Ora et labora," pray and work. They believed that as we do the work of prayer, God also asks us to do our part in the world and in the prayers that we're praying. I want you to think about this other couple that I knew who was trying to sell a home a few years ago. And for months, anytime a prayer request came, they would raise their hands and say, "We need help and we need God to sell our home." because nobody is offering us one single offer. And Jeannie is looking at me like, that's crazy. Today, that's a different world, right? But back then, it wasn't. And every time that prayer request would go on, they would say, we need to sell our home, we need to sell our home. After a few months, no bites, they went to the pastor and they said, hey, we are deeply frustrated and we are deeply disappointed with God. We have prayed that God would sell our home and nothing happens. And so the pastor was very perplexed and he said, well, you know, tell me about this house. Well, our real estate agent says that it's way overpriced. But we know God will bring somebody. And the pastor said, huh. So what you're really praying for is you're praying for a fool to buy your house. Well, pastor, I mean, we don't want to put it that way. He replies, I would listen to the real estate agent's advice and lower the price of the home. And they left that office frustrated, but of course, a few days later, receives a phone call and says, hey, guess what? And he's like, oh gosh, this is one of those gloating situations. And they said, we sold the home. He said, great. But we also lowered the price, and it sold within a few days. You see, a lot of times, if we don't do our part in the prayers that we are praying, sometimes we may be waiting indefinitely for something to happen. So in this sense, that statement, God helps those who help themselves, is true, because we believe that God has blessed us with a brain. We believe that God has blessed us with strength and wisdom. And also, God provides other people in our lives to advise us. And all of these are God's gifts to us, but it's up to us to use them, to pray, and also to work. So yes, God does help those who help themselves. But where this statement is not true, and where it actually, I've experienced it to be very dangerous, is when it comes to those that are needy in our midst. You know, since we personally have experienced the truthfulness of this statement, we expect others to be able to climb out of their own holes, to get their lives back on track. And perhaps we might believe that people who are needy are just being lazy and have no initiative whatsoever in their lives. You know, in college, you might not believe this, but I was one of those street preachers. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you run into those amazingly joyful people out in the streets? I was one of those that was just yelling, and it's a shame my family's not here this morning because they would probably cringe and laugh at the same time. But I had a little trash can that I would stand on in Dallas, Texas, with some friends of mine. And it was that classic fire and brimstone sermons. The good stuff, you know? Surprisingly, nobody ever came to faith. Except one time, a homeless man came, listened to me, who knows why, and stayed around. And of course, we invited him and loved him and said, hey, how about afterwards we go get a bite to eat? So as we're walking to probably like a McDonald's or a Wendy's or something like that, my friend and I were saying like, hey, you know, we got this guy in the kingdom of God. We need to do the next best thing is we need to get him a job. And so as we sat down, of course, gotta remind you, I'm probably 21 at this age in my life. I'm an idealist, you know? And I sat down with him and we started talking about his life and I just said, hey, where did you go to college? Where do you live? You know, just basic questions you might ask anybody else. And come to find out, with a smile on his face, he says, I didn't go to college. In fact, I didn't even finish high school. Oh, and I'm thinking to myself, well, how does someone get a job like that? I don't have a phone number or an address. And I'd applied to enough jobs to know that's necessary. And he just smiled, and he wasn't trying to give me the workaround. But I realized at that moment that there are sometimes some predicaments that people find themselves in that they really can't overcome on their own. But I didn't realize back then, when I was a 21-year-old kid, I thought to myself, I was deeply frustrated by that conversation, that I walked away and I was like, some people just don't take any initiative with their lives. But it would take a decade later, 10 years, for me to realize that there's a complexity to people's lives that sometimes they just can't overcome on their own. And the beautiful thing is that God realizes this, and so God sets up this wonderful system whereby people help other people. And he really begins to do this in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he says, as you harvest your fields, he says, go through them once and pick up what you need to pick up. But don't go back and pick what was left over. In fact, leave that out in the field, because with that, I will feed both the destitute and the orphans and the widows in your midst. And if you go back and you cultivate it again, he says, great judgment will fall upon you. So God sets up this system whereby he says, there are times when those who really cannot overcome a complex, a life circumstance, need help until they can begin to help themselves. But like you, I've also encountered something in my, and this is the gospel, by the way, this is what the gospel is. This is how God is towards us. We're very helpless. God decides to help us, loves to help us, actually. And so this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God is just saying, be a part of the gospel. But like you, and like me probably, you have experienced moments where you have tried to help somebody, and you're turning your wheels. You're frustrated. They're frustrated. There's no movement either way. You've sought help, you've sought counsel, you've sought everything that you can think of, and just nothing happens. And if you're anything like me, I'm a type of person that if I see a situation that's almost impossible, I latch onto it like a bulldog, and I'm going to get it done, and it's going to happen. But ironically, what ends up happening is that I think to myself, a lot of guilt. Why couldn't this person take that next step? Did I not pray enough? Did I not have enough faith? Did I not offer enough resources? Whatever it is, I think to myself, I somehow did not offer enough to this person. And in this, there's also questions we have to ask ourselves. Are the ways that we're helping people even helpful in the end? Or are they enabling? And so those are good debates that we need to have. Is, are we doing this just for ourselves or for a sense of, I need to fix people? But there are moments when you genuinely go to this with a genuine heart, and just nothing happens. So what do you do? This is a great debate. It's a great question. One of the things is guilt, that I didn't do enough. But we have to remember, the principle that Paul speaks about is still in existence. Those who are unwilling to work should not eat. You see, that is still a sobering truth about the Bible. Not only Paul says that, but if you look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs says time and time again, the lazy person withers in poverty. Now we could say, oh, but those are harsh statements. They are harsh statements, but they're also true statements. You see, I've known folks who need help all the time. Especially I know folks that are sometimes living in special needs homes. But the truth is, even then, people who have to have a lot of help still desire to take some sort of destiny, some sort of control over their own desires and wills. You see, that's just something inbuilt into us. And Scripture says, when that desire is broken, is defeated, there are consequences. But the good news is we are allowed to come alongside and help people That's the gospel message. Now, that's one aspect where God who helps those who help themselves is not true, because God uses people to help other people. But let me give you a last example where this statement is also not true, and that is yourself. Now, if you're anything like me, you probably have resources, you have means by which to accomplish many things in your life. You're not destitute, you're not necessarily in any type of situation like that. But at the same time, who here has ever been in despair or hopelessness? You see, you can have all the things you want in the world, but you can still experience despair and hopelessness. Not enough money will get you out of that one. I'm sorry. There's nothing that will get you out of that. And that's when this other message comes in, which is grace. God helps those who cannot help themselves. I know of many of you here in this room who have been through very grievous deaths in your lives. And some of you I've talked to and you say, I can't even get out of bed in the morning because it hurts so much. And I have people that are crowding around me, sometimes annoyingly so, but I have people around me. And I think to myself, gosh, what can I do? How can I alleviate this problem for them? And then surprisingly, one of you will say to me, but in this pain, in this rawness of my life, God is with me. God is with me. God helps those who can't help themselves. I think of this other story of a couple that I knew that had gone into a huge fight. I'm not married, but I understand arguments about how to raise children tends to build a lot of animosity in couples. And this was one of those situations where one of the parents wanted the child to be raised this way, the other wanted it to be raised the other way, and they just clashed over and over and over and over. And when this couple finally came and saw me, I thought to myself, gosh, it's just going to be a matter of weeks before they tell me they're filing for divorce. And of course, nobody wants that, but what do, you know? After a while, a few weeks went by, and got to catch up with one of them, and I said, hey, how have things been going? And they said, you know, it was really interesting. This was probably one of the most hopeless situations I'd been in. I never thought I could hate somebody as much as I hated my spouse. And I said, yeah, that's tough, huh? They said, yeah, but I was praying one day, and I prayed, and I said, God, why don't you change this person? Why don't you let them see how bad they are doing? I don't know if any of you have ever done that before. And they said, I was so angry, so full of bitterness, I thought I was going to explode with just the amount of rage that I felt. Felt so hopeless. But then God said something to me which was just amazing. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help but just lash out at them when I saw them every day. God said, it's interesting how much you want them to change, but you're not willing to change yourself. And at that moment, they said, I cried. I cried like I'd never cried before because I realized just the amount of unforgiveness that I had in my heart and the amount of hatred and jealousy and anger that was just boiling over in my life. And God helped me to be able to restore my marriage again. God helps those who cannot help themselves, and it's called grace. Now, this is a half-truth. Work and pray and work is a true thing. It's something that all of us need to do. But we also need to be aware and open our eyes to those who actually do need help. They can't overcome the circumstances of their lives. You are actually created to be that person. But you are not to enable. And we need to continue to have those debates. How do we do this that's not hurtful, but rather that is life-giving? And then secondly, if you're desperate, if you're hopeless, don't take the American way of, I'll do it. Got to let go of that. You can't do it. Got to let God do it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your presence, your joy in our lives, and God, the ways that you minister to us. We ask God in these moments of silence that you speak to us. Lord, we thank you for the abilities that we've been given and the gifts that we have. Lord, help us to continue to use those. We ask you though, Lord, that if there's someone in our minds and our hearts that we've been struggling with, we're helping them, perhaps a family member, a friend, or an acquaintance. And Lord, we're just getting frustrated. Lord, show us a different way of how to love, how to help. And Lord, if we're found in despair this morning, we ask for grace. Please speak to us in these moments of silence, we pray.